God. Amen. You can have your seat. Thank God for another day. My wife for life. All the people who came out, I'm so proud of some of y'all. Y'all made it to church two nights in a row. Give yourself a hand. Y'all might be saved for real. Bishop and Prophetess, thank y'all for coming out. My friends from Baxley, Apostle, Pastor Tab, Alma Bear, they always come to support, holding they pastor down. Amen. First Lady Nuttall, see her in the house. I see a lot of preachers up in here. I just throw y'all the mic. All our guests, we thank you for coming back. It's another night, amen. Y'all left a lot of time on the clock. Mm-hmm. I like time. Time is my friend. Faith Week. I love Faith Week. How about you? I like it. Going to cover a lot of things tonight. And y'all going to be praying for me? Yes. Amen. My assignment is dealing with the area of faith. I love faith. You know that? Love talking about it, preaching about it. Love living by it. Because I'm a result kind of person. You know, she's talking about Holy Ghost will make you walk right. Hey, Jasmine, where Jasmine at? Hey, don't be dismayed at people's face. If you can handle me, you can handle anybody. Don't be dismayed at people's face. You do it like God gave it to you. And then it's up to them whether they receive it or not. If they don't get nothing out of it, make it acceptable to God. Tell somebody, say, don't worry about nobody. Because you know you got some gangsters and thugs. They ain't quite delivered. They'd defend you if somebody was messing with you. But don't be dismayed at people's face. I had to learn that early. I don't ask for approval. Make me no difference. Don't even care if they come. People come as God lead them. If the Spirit don't lead them, don't bother with it. But it's going to be good for you tonight, amen? Go to Mark. And we're going to be talking about a whole gamut of things. People talk about faith, can't get no results. Amen. Signs on the door, can't get nothing to happen. People don't have bumper stickers no more. They have screensavers. Can't get nothing to happen. And that is an indictment, not on them. They haven't heard. How can they hear without a preacher? Preaching the right thing. And how can he do it unless he be sent? And it ain't all about rebuke. Sometimes people need to be rebuked. That can't be the whole sum of it. Everything that you need from God, you're going to get it by faith. Everything, Doc. Deliverance, how you going to get it? Mm-hmm. Oh, let me back up. You can't deliver somebody without their permission. Did you know that? Maybe I'm preaching already. But you can't deliver somebody without their permission. A spirit is cast out of a person. It walks around in dry land. It comes back to the same house because somebody delivered a person that didn't want to be delivered. So you can do it. But if they want it, it's coming back. And now you messed up because it come back seven times worse. And it's the preacher's fault because they should have asked you if you wanted it. Ooh-wee. Because people be trying to show off like they got it. And you do. We do have authority over them. We do have authority over spirits. But if they want it, you just messed up. You should ask them, do you want to be delivered? Preach Holy Ghost. And so we're going to see some things as we go through this. And I believe it's going to find people exactly where you're at. Father, think through my mind, speak through my mouth, that your people be edified, you be glorified after hearing the word of truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I ask for utterance. I ask for the anointing. I ask for utterance and the anointing. I ask for you to do what only you can do. In Jesus' name. Clap your hands real good.
However you want to do it.
He fixing me up. He trying to hook me up with some stuff. He want to bless the preacher. I ain't used to all this attention, but I appreciate when people want to be good to you. You know what you should do? You should let them. You never know what God is doing, where he's trying to take you, and where he's going to take you to. So when you look in Mark 9, it says, when it came, he came to his disciples. This is Jesus. He saw a great multitude of scribes around him. They questioning him, right? They really trying to show out. Got this boy that's demon possessed, and they was trying to get him free, but they couldn't do it. And so, you know, a lot of time people come to church and they come to the altar and they ask you certain questions as religious leaders. They don't really want no answer. They're just trying to show you up. They don't want no help. They're trying to show you up. How many know God ain't going to be showed up? And so Jesus see them questioning him, and straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and run into him to salute him, because they know who Jesus is. They know who the disciples are. And the question becomes, do people know who you are in God? Do you know who you are in God? So they come, Jesus come to them. Verse 16, he asked the scribes, what question ye them? One of them answered and said, Master, we brought unto thee my son who has a dumb spirit, deaf and dumb. Wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. He foameth, gnasheth with his teeth, pinneth him away. I spake to your disciples. I talked to your elders and your deacons and your mother's boy. Brought them to them. They couldn't do nothing. They couldn't cast nothing out. They couldn't do it. He answered him, and he said, O faithless generation, this is strong talk. If they had a faithless generation then, could we have a faithless generation now? Ain't nothing new in the sun. Ain't nothing new in the sun. People should be getting healed. Amen. People should be getting delivered. If they dealing with poverty, they should, when they come to your church, they should come out of it. Amen. Because poverty is a curse. You're supposed to be breaking curses. But if everybody broke, you ain't nobody got no money. You ain't broke the poverty curse at least. Which could possibly lead them to other demonic devices trying to gain something that had we just broke it, they could already be free and be delivered from a whole host of things. God gonna break some stuff over some people's lives tonight through the spoken word. Through the spoken word. Family should be staying together. But somehow we overlooking some stuff. And so when Jesus is talking to them, he says, a faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long am I going to have to suffer through this? Because there's certain things after coming to God and walking with God, there are certain things you are empowered to do in that name. You don't have to wake him up all the time. Now, I know that don't sound spiritual. It is the truth. So you can be begging God to do things that he's empowered you to do, and then you wonder why God won't get it done, because he said you should have been able to get it done. And what we're looking at, I believe, that's why a lot of people, they don't know what's a, I told them, what's a faith week? Same thing you're supposed to be doing every Sunday, every Wednesday, every time you talk to somebody. No matter what the consequence is, faith should come alive as you're speaking to people. How are they going to be saved, set free, delivered, healed if they don't believe that they can? Amen. So you stirring something up in them. You ain't just talking to them. You ain't just some loose, empty words. The whole point of it is, what's the point in doing this if you can't get no results? Yes, sir. What's important? What's the point in you? How do you build a church? You build it by faith. What's the point in paying a lease note and we can't get nobody in there to believe in God? Start feeling. What's the point in having a building? We can't do that. And what we got to do, What we got to do, we got to stop making excuses like people have changed. They sinners then, sinners now. Faith was getting them saved then. Faith will get them saved now. Faith was getting people delivered then. And they didn't have, watch this, and the people of old had no more anointing that's available to you, but at least they had it. Woo-wee. At least they had it. So he said to them, how long? He said, bring the boy to me. This Jesus talking. I don't know what was wrong with my iPad, but it's okay. He brought him to him. And when he saw him, straightway, the spirit started acting up. See, the minute y'all make up y'all mind, y'all going to live saved, the devil start acting up in your house. The minute that you start talking about you're gonna do right by God and you're gonna start a prayer life, your wife or your husband will start an argument with you. Ain't no sense in going no prayer if you ain't gonna make peace with them. So the devil is very strategic in how he throw people off, because we don't know how to manage our emotion. The Holy Ghost will make you walk right, he'll make you talk right, he'll also make you shut up when you need to. He'll make you apologize. He'll make you go and love on somebody. He'll make you pay somebody a car note for him that you don't even want to. You don't want to. See, the Holy Ghost is more powerful than what we think, and we've reduced it to a shout in tongues. And most of the people shouting and tonguing, and speaking in tongues, they can't get nothing going for them because they don't really believe what they're hearing. They don't believe the word of God. They like showing out in public. They like the attention, and what we're witnessing in many people is low self-esteem, because in the black church, we love getting elevated in church because at least in here somebody applaud me. But the same people that will applaud you out there, God got more people that applaud you out there if you will learn how to live by faith. Say, walk by faith. Not by fake, by faith. So everybody want to do this. You know, everybody want to do this because they think it's easy. But you do this by faith, too. You seek God for words by faith. For specific people. So, like, watch this. There's a man. God said there's going to be a man and a woman coming to this service tonight. Both of them alcoholics. The woman, The woman, he said, yours happened when you left church. Not quit God, you just pulled away from church. And when you pulled away from church, that spirit was waiting on you. And now you don't know how to get back to church. But God is saying you can come just as you are by faith. Don't worry about nobody else. And he'll free you on tonight. A man and a woman. And they didn't come together. Just so you know I'm talking to you. By faith, God give that kind of stuff to you. When you want to help people, God will show you how to help people. And it's got to be beyond and more than just lip service. Say, help me, oh Lord. Help me, oh Lord. Help me, oh Lord. No, we search for other people. But you need to be, many times, we need to be like David. It's me, oh Lord. It's me. It's me. It's me. It's me. It's me. And my anointed self. It's me and me and my busted family. It's me. So watch this. He said, this is interesting to me, man. This is my introduction. Because they left a lot of time on the clock. I'm going to use it. I told y'all to take off anyway. So here we are. They brought the boy to Jesus. Jesus asked the father a question. I thought this was interesting. He asked the father, how long is it since this came to him? How long has he been that way? This version says of a child. There are some translations when you translate it, says he was born that way. See, now most parents ain't gonna believe that. Because somehow they think it's them. It could have been. But it ain't necessarily always the case. He said, how long has he been that way since a child? Some translations say since birth. Right? But don't nobody want to believe that. Because, see, positive talk ain't the same thing as proof. And sometimes God will let us see what the results are so you can believe to do something about it. He don't want you to be in denial. Tell somebody, say, don't be in denial. Don't be, as long as you in denial, that's nothing God can do for you. Sometimes he'll let us identify a problem so that now you can use faith to subdue the problem, undo the problem. Make the problem better, but as long as you're in denial and positive talking and people trying to tell you, this is what I see. This is what I see. Not my baby. Do you want the child delivered or not? But we won't even entertain that because somehow we feel some kind of way and the child and the person is suffering and we the people of faith say believer. We need believers to believe. Don't come in. If I'm sick, don't come in my hospital room crying. I don't need that. If I'm dying, don't come falling at my feet talking about I'm a good man. I ain't dead yet. Believe for me. If you can't straighten up and release faith towards heaven, don't come in there messing with me, putting your hand and cry. I don't want that. Tell somebody, say, believer. I don't care what the doctor done said. I don't care what the medical people done said. I don't care what psychiatrist done said. I don't care what your mama or your daddy done said. I don't care what your preacher done said. It just a lot of time preachers don't want their members to go to other people because they don't want to feel like they couldn't get it done. I don't care who get it done. As long as they get done. He says, oftentimes, cast them in the fire. Throw them in the water. Trying to destroy them. All you have to do is look at the sequential things that happen. The thief comes to do what? You can apply that to marriage. You can apply that to health. You can apply that to money. You can apply that to mental stuff. You can apply it to anything. And let me just back up right there. Because one of the things that you can't almost talk about mental illness in church. because people think you calling them crazy or something. And the whole point of it is that there is a way that God can get you free as you allow him to write over the faulty material in our soul that'll put us in a position where our lives are better. And it don't matter if something is wrong with me, somebody please help me. If it's a demon that's attacking me mentally, somebody please help me. And there are people that can see it on you for real. Now, everybody can't. But there are some people who can, and you shouldn't run from them. What should you do? You should run to them. You shouldn't run from them. What should you do? You should run to them. You shouldn't run from them. What should you do? You should let the mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you if you're struggling. It'll undo all that depression. Let the mind of God that was in Christ Jesus be in you. It'll undo all that oppressive spirits that be trying to take you out. Shout three times. Ain't nothing wrong with me. Ain't nothing wrong with you. Don't believe the devil. The devil is a liar. That's what he was born to do. That's all he know to do. He's a liar. And if you'll believe the lie, he'll trap you into a situation that was never yours from the beginning. The things that God spoke about you was good. The things that God are pleasant. They are lovely. Don't let the devil trap you. Say, don't let the devil trap you. How are you going to get free? You're going to use your faith. You're going to write the word not only on your heart, you're going to renew your mind with the word. See, we come out of, not everybody, Sometimes you come out of difficult situations. You come out of broken families. Let me talk to somebody and your family broken. Don't let them trap you in that house with that silence, talking about whatever happened up in here, stay up in here. No, I'm telling everybody. Till you get it right, I'm telling everybody. I'm going to tell the preacher. I'm going to tell the first lady. I'm going to tell the deacons. I'm going to tell anybody that'll listen. I'm going to tell the neighbor. If I need to, I'm going to tell the police, because some things you need to tell the police on people. If they ain't going to let Jesus deliver them, lock them up. But I'm going to tell somebody. I'm not going to let you. I'm going to tell somebody. See, that's an old school demonic trap. I'm not going to protect the integrity of a demon in my house. Tell somebody, touch three people, say, go on and tell it, go on and tell it. They're going to get mad, go on and tell it, go on and tell it. The truth going to make you free. It might make them mad, but it's going to make you free. Sometimes people are not going to stop until they're exposed. Ted Bundy said, I was going to keep eating people till I got caught. They're not going to stop until you expose them. This faith week, y'all. Watch what Jesus says to him. He says, if you can believe, all things are possible. He said, if you can believe, I wasn't supposed to say none of that. All things are possible to him that believe. Straightway, when I read scriptures, they talk to me. I'm serious. Like, people read the Bible before they go to bed. If I read the Bible, I'll be up all night. Before I go to bed. Because they talk to me. They're supposed to talk to you. I'm telling the God on his truth. So he says, the Father cried out with tears. Watch this. He said, I'm going to deal with this element. It's heavy in a second. He said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Underline that. When Jesus saw that the people came running, he rebuked this foul spirit, saying, deaf and dumb spirit, charge thee, come out of him. Enter him. No. Follow a pattern. Good. Test. I ain't got nothing but time. See this? Give me another microphone or something. And if we can't get the mixer, just cut the mix off and I can talk loud enough to get it out.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Because he didn't want you to hear this. Notice what Jesus did. He charged the spirit. He commanded. He's taking charge of the spirit. I guess you can do it crying, but he's not crying. The whole point of it is, when you're dealing with certain things, you can't be emotional about it. Because you're functioning on a different realm, on a different plateau. Are you following me? When your soul is involved, your flesh can get involved quickly. Do you know what I've witnessed? There are so many things. I've watched people preaching, dancing, singing, prophesying, start in the spirit, end in the flesh. And this is why most of the time it's only part, because they can't control their flesh. They got a gift, but they can't control their flesh. So what he did, he takes charge of it. He tells it to come out of him. It gets out. And then he says, because it ain't like spirits evaporate. They still in the earth. They trapped here. When you cast them out, they don't like, they just go into hell. So he says, come out. And then he says, and don't you come back in here no more. He seals it. Once God gets you free, he's going to seal you tonight. That it's not going to come. You're not going to deal with the same thing till you die. Say, I'm not going to deal with this until I die. I'm not going to deal with this until I die. I'm not going to live like this until I die. God going to seal the deal for you. As you being freed, as the preached word, because a lot of times we think we're doing something extra. And he just slapping people down. And I say he, God. And he can be, people can get free way before you come to some altar and somebody put their hand on you. You can be healed way before somebody, but they save it because they want to act like they're doing it. No, God was going to do it for you just like he delivered them people with an alcohol. They still sitting there. But God got it out. I commanded to come back to you no more. But they want to act like they doing something. Say, God is the source. So watch this. Spirit cried out. Start acting up again. You know some of the craziest stuff I've seen when people act like they got a demon and they ain't got no demon. Sometimes it's because people preaching to them have convinced them something was wrong with them. And wasn't nothing wrong with them. They just disobedient. They got soul issues. So they down there wobbling and squealing and wailing and flailing like a fish. And then a bee fly past their head and they swiping at the bee. So they ain't in no kind of spirit. I've never seen people who want to be, you know, the preacher say the guy come up there and wailing and swinging and whatever and just hauled off and slapped him. And then he said, I realized I was from the south side and I slapped the devil out of him. And he was bigger than him, so he said, now you want me to pray for you or what? Don't act like something wrong with you and ain't nothing wrong with you. You giving the enemy permission to come in that area. You giving him authority, authorization to come in Shout three times. Ain't nothing wrong with me. This man had an legitimate case, though. His son is being tormented by demons, right? And he's in need of a miracle. There's some things people don't even talk about miracles no more. So how a person who need a miracle gonna believe for a miracle if the person who's supposed to be the mouthpiece of God ain't even telling them that there is a way when there ain't no way? Ain't even telling them that there ain't no way. There ain't no way. They looking. They know it ain't no way. Nobody's telling them that God can cut a way out of no way to make a way so that you can get through. Are you following what I'm saying? But they won't even tell them. They won't even give them an opportunity to believe. What if it's cancer? So what if it's some debilitating disease? So what? Is there anything too hard for God? What if they say you can't have no kids? Is there any? That's what he had to tell Sarah. She was barren. That's no reason for Sarah to be barren other than God was trying to prove a point and wait for a certain time to birth what he needed to birth out of her. But he had to convince her, Sarah, there's nothing too hard for me. Stay in faith towards me. Keep your faith towards me, Sarah. Don't worry about how old you are, because some of you think your biological clock is ticking and you ain't got no time. But if God promised it to you and you was 19, it don't matter if you 69. God will still give you the same thing that he promised you, because what he plan for you doesn't have an expiration date. I'm telling somebody tonight, you still gonna get it. You still gonna get it. You still gonna have it. You still gonna be what God called you to be. Don't quit. But this guy, he got a legitimate case for a miracle, and then they're trying to get him to a point where they're drowning his son, burning his son. So you think about this. When he comes to Jesus and to these people, The average preacher would be thrown by the appearance of the boy. The people, all the sleepers, oh, they up now. He burn all up. Mm-hmm. Hair matted, clothes burn up. Maybe where people had to rip certain parts of the fabric off of his body. Uh-huh. Ashes, you know, they ain't like you got no stuff. You got ashes all over you. And the appearance, what I'm saying, the appearance sometime of how people come, the presentation throws off the person who's supposed to be helping them. So he got to go to Jesus. He can't go to no youth pastor. He can't go to nobody else. He can't go to no deacon. Say, take me to the king. I got to go to the man in this case, because I can look, just like you can look in a person and see if they eyes, when you preaching, and see if they got faith. A person can look in your eyes and see if you have faith. They know if you thrown. They know if you believe it. I'm believing for everybody up in here. Did you get everything God wants you to have before you need tonight? And it ain't got nothing to do with no preacher. It's got to do with the Holy Ghost and your belief in the one who can do all things. I can't do nothing apart from God. It's about God and him only. It's his power. Man don't have no power. It's all subservient to God. But God can do it for you. He will do it to you. And so this guy stands still. His case stands still before heaven and before God, because he's waiting for the power, but Jesus is waiting for the man to believe. Now you watch. He's waiting for the power. So Jesus is the judge. His case is before the judge. He's waiting for the move of God, but God say, I'm waiting for faith. Now watch. Watch what Jesus do to this man. Straightway, the father of the child cried out and said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Can unbelief and belief exist at the same time? Obviously it can, because Jesus didn't say that can't happen. Now, I've heard it preached that it can't. But obviously, it is. you can be believe. You could be have the ability to believe for a toothache, but the cancer throw you off. You can believe for $100, but when they tell you that you're 4 months behind on your rent and it's $8,000 or $10,000, you may not have the faith to do that. I've had people tell me, you're going to do this in ministry. You're going to do that. You should do this. And I had to tell them the truth. I don't have faith for that right now. No. I'm telling the truth. I don't have no faith for that right now. So even if they write, if I do it, it's going to fail. Because I don't have faith for that. So watch what Jesus do it. Jesus didn't just automatically, Sister Keenan, go and start, you know, moving stuff around and fixing. Watch what he does. He doesn't tell this man that he could. So watch. Peter is walking. Jesus tell Peter to come and walk on the water, didn't it? 1 second later, he's sinking. He started off walking on the water. Believe. 3 seconds later, the storm comes in his life. He's sinking. He had faith to walk on the water, but then he did not have faith that he wasn't going to sink. I want to tell some people tonight, if God calls you to walk on the water, don't worry about the storm. You're not going to sink. If he tell you to go after whatever it is, I don't care if it's a business endeavor or move to a different place, you're not going to sink. Say, stay in faith. And these are the keys to get it. Moses had faith to bring people out of Egypt, but he didn't believe that God can speak through him because I stutter. Pharaoh ain't gonna listen to me. Pharaoh will hear me through the stutter if I tell you to say it. You just open up your mouth and I'll speak through you. And that's what I'm telling somebody else. You ain't gotta have no perfect speech to be used by God. You don't have to have no booming voice by TDJ. That's why a lot of these heathens are getting into churches and wrecking them because they got melodious voice and they sound like a preacher, but they really a devil in disguise. She look like a prophet, she sound like a prophet, but if you go and you examine her fruit, everything she ever told you was wrong. It's been wrong. And so he want us to know that you don't have to have, because this guy got unbelief and belief. He's not looking for fault for flawless faith. This is going to help some people tonight. God ain't looking for you to have flawless faith. He's not looking for you to have, you don't have to have all that to even approach him. If your faith had to be in a state of perfection, no sinner could be saved. Nobody could be saved. So this would let you know that you can come to God in a state where you're in between and God will convince you. Abraham didn't believe he was going to be no father of many nations. What did God have to do? Abraham, go outside and look into the sky. Can you count the stars, Abraham? I can't count them, Father. So shall your seed be. God left him alone. Abraham, go outside and I want you to count the sand on the seashore. I want you to tell me how many grains of sand is on that seashore, Abraham. He said, Lord, I can't count them. And so shall your seed be. And we look around the world and all of us, God's prophecy is still coming to pass. And it's going to come to pass until Jesus come back. Why? Because God cannot lie. What am I saying to somebody here? God cannot lie to you. God has not lied to you. And the delay is tricking you. The delay is making you feel like God is not going to come. The doctors, you gave too much credit to the doctor and God said, I would have healed you a long time ago, but you put their knowledge above my power and therefore I could not work in that situation. I would have gave you the money. I would have gave you the business if you wanted it, but no, you keep looking that I don't have the intellect. I don't have the skill. And God said, if you will shut the devil down, I'll do what I promised you I was going to do for you. Am I preaching to the right crowd up in this place? With your sleepy self. Go right home and cut Netflix on. That's what heathens do. Go right home, get in bed, undelivered with demons when they could have got freed, watching some mess on TV. Stirring your spirit up to get out of bed and do the same thing you came to church to get free from with your sleepy self. Stop struggling and start believing. Do something about the heavy heart. Start believing God. Do something about the busted up marriage. Start believing God. Do something about that depression that you deal with. Stop wearing it like it's some proud badge and get delivered from it. Say, God can help you. He said, I heard some of you crying out for your children. He said, I've heard, I've seen your tears in private. Now, I'm make this make sense. He said, I've seen you crying in private. He says, but you've been forced to clean up every time you come to public. I've seen you, I don't know who I'm talking to. He's seen what you've been saying to him in private. But the people around you have forced you to clean up when you get to public, in public, so you put on a show for them in the whole time. God said, I would have done it for you. I would have given it to you. He says, God says, I seen you confessing. I seen you praying, but you're still being overpowered by that situation. But he says, I'm going to work a miracle in your life. Say, I'm next in line. I'm next in line. Tell somebody, I'm next in line. Because when you think about this particular situation, you got to believe when God is showing you through somebody else what he can do. He's only doing that, Jairus, so you can get your faith up. That's why when they get their breakthrough, you don't turn your nose up. You don't act like, I'm better than them. You should have seen what they was doing. I know what they doing. And God said, and I know what you doing too. But I'm blessing them because I wanted to bless them over here. And I would have blessed you over there. But you trying to act like you deserve it. And they know they don't deserve it. And so God said, I'm going to do it for them while you watch them get blessed. But if you will learn how to praise God when other people are getting blessed, you position yourself to move up in line. You move your marriage up. You move your money up, you move your ministry up, but you gotta celebrate other people because you ain't got no faith for that yet, Jairus. Jairus's daughter is dying. He asked Jesus to come to his house. Now, he's different from the centurion because the centurion didn't think his house was good enough for Jesus to come up in here. I know I ain't deserving, Jesus. All I need you to do is just speak the word. And Jesus spoke the word for him. And here Jairus is in a different situation. Jesus comes to him. He says, Jesus, can you come and lay hands on my daughter and pray for my daughter? And Jesus says, yes. And while he's going to Jairus' daughter who is dying, Jesus stopped to deal with the woman with the issue of blood on the way to somebody dying. And she wasn't dying, obviously. She done dealt with it for 15 years or 18 years. So she ain't finna die. But Jesus needs to let Jairus see that he didn't have enough faith to get his daughter healed. So while God has parked you in front of somebody else so you can see him come through for them, he's saying, I'm trying to let you see so you can start believing because you next in line. Tell somebody, say, you next in line. You next in line. You didn't tell nobody with your stuck up tail. Tell them you next in line. But see, because sometimes we think we powerful in faith and we ain't got enough faith to move nothing. We ain't never got no results. Most of the breakthroughs you got, somebody broke it and gave it to you. You didn't get a breakthrough. They kicked the door open and said, now you come in. And you up there shouting and you didn't even get the door open. And God is saying, now it's time for us to move. Tell somebody, three people, say, I'm next in line. Believing makes the difference. Believing makes the difference. And the church ain't believing God for nothing no more. The body of Christ, they ain't believing for souls. They ain't believing for increase. They ain't believing for deliverance. All we want to do is just run and run and run and run. I got a treadmill at home. I need some proof. I need some results. So watch this. Clap your hands real good. I got to wake some of these sleepy people up. Give them a good praise. Come on, give him a good shout with your sleepy self. Run the devil up out of here. You ain't tired. You wasn't even tired. You ain't even going to be tired when you get home. Run the devil up out of here. Run the devil up out of here. Because some of these demons creep right in beside you. And God knew that you was going to be here because he was going to work it in your life. And then you sought by somebody who was hosting a devil. Run them up out of here. 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 Run them up out of here.
Sit down, please. I ain't even got out my introduction. I don't see co-pastor up here, but if you find it, just turn to co-pastor and say, co-pastor, you're in trouble tonight. Somebody gonna listen to this. Is believing important? Watch this. Watch this. The father obviously is too emotionally entangled with his son. Spiritually, here's the truth. Like, if you ever dealt with somebody who's dying for a long time, that can drain you spiritually. The whole point of it is because you're constantly with them. And you don't have time to replenish. So you're not that you're in sin, you're pouring out, you're pouring out, you're pouring out, you're pouring out. You don't have time to get replenished. So this guy is probably spiritually weak. From an emotional standpoint, this is his son. It does not ever mention a mother. I don't know what happened. I don't know if she died in childbirth. I don't know if she abandoned the boy because of his condition, because he had this condition since he was born. I want to tell somebody, if your kid got a condition, don't abandon them. So he's dealing with this. And then from an intellectual standpoint, he just saw the disciples. They couldn't do nothing. And then medical people probably could tell them other things as well. There's no help from him. I've had people tell people with medical issues there was no help for him, and God did it. They told my wife with our oldest son that he was going to be blind. His eyes wasn't even developed. He was a preemie. His lungs wasn't developed. He was a pound, I think. If he survives, he's going to be mentally retarded. How about ain't nothing wrong with him? How about ain't nothing wrong with him? Because some things come down to who, not belief, it's whose report do you believe? It's not belief, it's whose report do you believe? Because the devil talks just like God talk. And sometimes he talks through people. And that's why you got to be sensitive to know God's voice. Do you know you can hear God's voice coming through a person, and you can hear a devil, and they ain't talking about rah, rah, rah. The language does not coincide with scripture. That's a devil. They cute. That's the devil. They're being used by one. They may not be one. They've been used by one. It's up to you to get the report, hear the report, and then if it comes from God, I'm going to believe this report. His report says that you're healed. Say amen to this. His report says you are free. Say amen to this. His report that he says he's giving you the victory. Say amen to this. And that changes your outlook, your believing. So watch this. What Jesus does to this man, shout believing makes a difference. He did not tell this man, he didn't tell him to believe for the deliverance of his son. Because the father already messed up by this boy. What did he tell him? He said, believe all things are possible. He did not tell him to believe for the deliverance of his son. He don't have no faith for that. You better catch what I'm saying. He tells him to believe all things are possible. He diverts the father's attention to belief in something else God could do while God was doing for him what he needed. God has told you to believe something else, because once faith is involved,
He can use your faith on all the other elements in your life, but he just needs you to have it. I'm preaching to somebody up in this place. He just needs you to believe, even if it's something that you ain't necessarily big to you, he needs faith because faith is the conduit. Faith is the thing that he's searching for. He does not tell this man to believe for deliverance. He just tells him to believe all things are possible. That's what God is telling some people in here tonight. Your situation is huge. God is saying, don't focus on that situation no more. Just believe that I am the God who can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all. I need you to have some faith in your house. I need you to get some faith in your life. Get some faith in your marriage. Get some faith operating around your body so I can work in your body. Are you following what I'm saying? Because if you can believe God to heal something external, you can believe God to heal something internal that the doctors say ain't no hope for. I'm telling somebody tonight, there's hope for you. There's hope for you. There's hope for that situation. That's hope for your mind. That's hope for your money. That's hope for your marriage. That's hope for your ministry. Many people are losing and closing the doors on their ministry because really they don't have no faith that what God promised them in the beginning, that God gonna actually do it. So they don't even visit. They don't even visit the vision no more. They fuss at the people. They bite at the people. They call the people all kind of names. And God has said, why don't you just start confessing the vision over the empty seats? Start speaking life over your people. Start telling them that God is gonna come through for us. God is gonna deliver us. God is going to move in your life. All you need to do, have faith in God. Tell somebody, say, have faith in God. But people ain't believing. And therefore, God ain't moving. But how many know God want to move? And God is going to move. If you hang around here long enough, God is going to move. You might not like me all the time, but you will hang around because you will see God move. You may get mad at me here and there, but you're going to stay here because God is going to move. He's going to bust a move in your life if you'll let him. Go to John 5. I got about 27 more places to go. Let me show you this. My title is, when the time is right, the Lord gonna make it happen. That's what Minister Avery. Tell somebody, when the time is right, the Lord gonna make it happen. Say it again. When the time is right, the Lord gonna make it happen. In the beginning, I never gave titles to sermons. I ain't named no sermon. Because sometimes God will give, a lot of times, God just give me stuff right off the cuff. It ain't rabbit trails. What is it called? Utterance. It's called utterance, where he starts speaking directly into your situation. And that's what you want. Do you know why a lot of times God won't do it for a lot of people? Because the key is, Ephesians 6, you got to pray for your preacher. That God would give him utterance to speak into your life. But when you don't pray for him, they skip you. Because this is just a religious ritual for you. This is why a lot of times God won't speak to preachers. As other preachers are preaching, he won't speak to them. Because they've already prepositioned themselves that they're not going to listen to nobody but what God say to them. So why you even come to church? Because you need help just like everybody else need help. And your family need help just like everybody else need help. And your body need... Tell somebody it's called utterance. John 5. I'm almost done. Maybe. Jesus is at the Feast of the Jews. He's in Jerusalem. He's by this sheep market pool, which is called Bethesda, Five Porches, House of God, House of Grace, Five Porches, Grace. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind folks, halted, withered. They all waiting on the move of God. How many know that proximity doesn't equal possession? Just because you're close to a blessing don't mean you got it.
You can be in the right church. And just because you're there, you still got to release faith like everybody else, because it ain't about proximity. It's about possession. And God wants us to not only be close to it. He wants you to possess. He wants you to have it. He wants you to be it. He wants you to overcome it. He wants you to not just see it in the realm of the spirit. He wants you to possess it. Oftentimes, vision becomes closer because I tell people, when we die, we're going to be shocked how close this realm and the spirit realm really was. And as it starts moving closer to you, you start envisioning it. Because some of you, you're starting to see things already, but you won't speak about it. You won't talk about it. You won't start believing God for it. And God has said, I want you to build your faith up so you can pull it, snatch it. Just reach up and just snatch it and pull it to you closer. I want you to be able to pull it on into this dimension. This ain't some game or some religious thing. It's closer to you than you think. So he tells them, he says to them, and for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool. So like Faith Week, I believe, is designed by God. It's a seasonal thing that I believe he put in my heart to build the people up to do something incredible in their life if they believe. The difference between the body of Christ now and people who are truly hungry and used to be hungry, there was a time when people would preach to midnight. No, preach, teach. Ain't nobody sleepy. Do you know why? Do you know why they're not sleepy? And I'm not knocking nobody sleeping. Maybe just got out of work. I know some people just got out of planes. People just flew in. The point is, because I ain't picking on them. The point being is that when you're hungry for God, you'll do things that other people ain't willing to do. This is the key. So now, what's happened in the body of Christ, people are not going to sit past 45 minutes. If they hungry, they will. If they in a bad kind of way. And what's happening there, Sister Harris, is that a lot of time people are developing the hunger, but then somebody cut in front of them and start giving them snacks, and it kills the appetite for the things of God. And had they just stayed out the way, don't look at nobody. Say, mind your own business. I'm hungry. You know why churches are dying? Because people ain't hungry. They don't really want no God. They want the hand of God. They want the move of God. They don't want no God. I just need you to hear up and do what you're going to do. And God will say, you ain't hungry enough. You don't want this like you telling people you want it. Because I woke you up last night. You wouldn't get up. Your divine instructions had already been released. I had sent forth angelic hosts into your room to talk to you. And you wouldn't even get up. Uh-huh. Because you ain't hungry for it. You don't really want it like you say you want it. As long as you got your own natural problem solvers, you lose the desire to go after things of God at a deeper level, at a higher level. You don't want that. I just want to get in and get out. Well, then get in and get out. And it's killing. It's killing what God could do because people ain't got no time for it. They don't have no time for it. And when you look at this right here, he tells this man, where am I at? He's at this pool, and a certain man, he tells him, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. Jesus saw him lying there. Watch what he does. He sees him lying there. He knew he done been there for a long time. He knows the case. God know your case too. And watch what Jesus says. He says, wilt thou be made whole? Do you have a desire to be healed? That's what he's asking him. That's what he's asking some of us tonight. Do you have a desire for what I really want to do for you?
because incredible is in the room. I'm trying to build your faith. I'm trying to get you at a point where you can get what you need. He says to the man, he said, and the empty man answered him. He says, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. He says, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me. Watch what Jesus said to him. He says, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And what happened? And immediately the man is what? Made whole. Miracles are activated by motion. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. If you ain't moving towards it, God ain't doing it. So in order for God to do the miracles, Pastor Jackie, he got to get the man moving. He has to get the man involved. He tells the man, arise. The man jumps up. Take up your bed and walk. And the movement of the man activates the miracle. I'm telling God, I'm telling some people, if I want three people just jump up and praise God, activate something for your miracle. The movement is going to activate something. Right where you're sitting tonight, the movement is going to cause heaven to move on your behalf. The movement is going to cause those angels to shift up and down your row. The movement is going to cause your head to stop hurting. The movement is going to cause the cancer to dry up. The movement is going to cause your kidneys to start flowing again. The movement is going to cause the disease to dry up in your body. The movement is going to cause the money to make it to you. The movement is going to cause the marriage to come back online. But you're going to activate it by doing something. Praise the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. And when he started moving, his body is made whole. See, sometimes you gotta be willing to do something that everybody told you that you could not do. The doctor said you can't use your back. Bend down and touch your toes. The doctor said your knees are gonna be messed up. There's nothing he can do. Take off and get yourself a victory lap in the building. The doctor said ain't nothing he can do for your headache. Begin to shout like a trumpet in the place. Because the movement is gonna do something. The movement is gonna do something. The movement is gonna do something. The movement is gonna shift the atmosphere of your house. The movement is gonna make your hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wish I had about five people that believed it. See, your lack of participation is the main reason why God won't move for you. I don't need a shout. I don't hardly even do a whole bunch of stuff my own self. But you need God to move. You need a deliverance. You need a growth spurt in your mind, in your marriage, in your ministry. You are broken, poor man's turkey. You need heaven to shift some resources for you. You know you need a move. Somebody ought to give the Lord a good hand praise. So I want to encourage some people tonight that you have not lost your place in line. That God got you in the same position. He just needs you to activate some faith and get you moving. Keep on planning your out. Keep on planning your exodus. Keep on planning your business. Keep on planning for your breakthrough. Keep on planning for a happy marriage. Keep on planning for deliverance. Keep on planning for your growth in your ministry. Because God is still in the miracle working business. God is still showing out. He's still moving in the earth. The devil wants people to doubt God, but God say, I'm still moving. I'm still blessing. I'm still delivering. I'm still making people free. Somebody ought to give the Lord a hand praise. I'm going to end with this. Start planning for what you prayed for. Start making a plan for it. That's as simple as taking out a pen and writing down what your breakthrough and your miracle looks like. Number two, start stepping where you never stepped before. If it's too big for you, that's exactly where God wants you stepping. If it's something that you can't do in your own strength, that's where faith is actually activated. See, you got to do something that you've never done to get what you've never had. Go for something. If I'm going to release faith over something, I ain't going to release faith over something small I can do for myself. Tell somebody, say, go big or go home. Go big or go home. Go big or go home. And then what I want you to do is you start declaring what you have not seen visibly. Meaning that you may not see nothing moving in the natural, but you got to start talking about it first. You got to get, and watch this. You got to talk about it openly. You got to declare it in public. What the Lord has showed you. And as you do that, the Lord is going to do for you exactly what he promised you. The Lord is going to do for you exactly what he promised you. Tell somebody, give somebody, three people a high five. Say, I got next. I got next. Come on, give them a high five. Tell them, say, I got next. 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 Oh! You got next. Come on, give them some praise. We're going to get out of here in a second. You got to believe that you got it. And I want to tell some people tonight, you got it. Hold on, sir. I want to tell some people tonight, you actually got it. We standing. We finna get out of here. I promise you. It's late. But you got to build yourself up. A lot of times when you talk faith, a lot of people won't go after anything because they say, I don't have this super superior faith. Most leaders ain't got it. Don't get fooled because God worked stuff through them. How would you know if you can talk to people and you can hear they're not there? But God ain't even interested in that, I believe, right now. I think we're in a season where he is trying to confirm who he is in the earth. And because people may not have this superior, gigantic faith, he's not concerned of it. If you have faith the seed, the size of a mustard seed, he can still do it. And he's willing to do it. Listen, if you want somebody to come in agreement with you about anything, make your way up here right now. Anything. I don't care how big it is. Because he said where two or three are gathered, touching the green on any one thing, he said it shall be done. Shall is a promise. I don't want people feeling like, because I just say it like I hear it. Stop judging yourself for what you did do, didn't do. That's not what this is about tonight. God trying to work something in your life on a really high level. If that's you, make your way up here right now. Make your way really